Blog Talk Radio.
Outlined against a blue gray sky, the horsemen ride again. Yes, Grantland see the Irish shine, the time has come to win. It's a pole look around, the spirits stern, and you feel a shiver when the horsemen herd comes thundering by and the Irish rise again.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Down the Line on the TNNDN Nation Network following spring football. So now we just have to wait till September for football. Yeah, that's the case. So, Tim Daniel here, excited for another awesome show that we do each and every week here for you. We are without Mr. Stephen Herring this week as he is in New York doing big things. But never fear, the original two are here. It is me and the godfather of the new ND Nation, Mr. Jason Cripe.
What's happening, everybody? Glad to be back, man. I kind of been on a little bit of a leave here a little bit, and I'm very, very glad to be back. We got a lot to talk about. We got the spring game. Take away all of our breakdown from that, and of course, we're going to have a great guest. I'll let Tim fill you in on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being from Notre Dame Insider and the South Bend Tribune, we'll be joined by our friend Tyler James again to recap spring football and a little prep as we get ready for a couple months here for camp stuff. And what to do in that time frame, because we all know that there's not much in that circumstance there.
Well, we got the NFL draft coming up, and you know, and while we're on that, what is up with everyone kind of being scared of Jalen Smith right now? It seems very weird that I think a couple people I heard have got him going like in the seventh round. Really?
I've heard. More or less, it's because he's not going to. Thought process is he's not going to play this year, but the game plan is a lot of people think he's going to play in 2017. There's some people that say they don't know when he'll play again, so that's kind of worried to some. Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina a couple years ago isn't helping his case here, unfortunately, either. But yeah, you know, I don't know. It's really freaking me out too because I think he's a kid that's too special to not play in the NFL. So.
Yeah,
seeing him go through this is definitely painful to see. Not just as a Notre Dame fan, but a football fan. It's something that really sucks to see this happening.
Yeah, definitely. I think the kid's got a lot of upside. I mean, I understand that the NFL scouts are a little concerned that they're worried about nerve damage and regenerating that nerve, and that obviously has maybe not happened yet. But anyone who can pick that kid up, you can get that kid in the first couple rounds, it's a steal. It may not turn anything in 2016, but it may sure turn into something in 2017. So I think any really good GM is looking at this and going, yeah, we may need to snatch this kid up.
He's not going in the first round. That's the unfortunate part of it. Because healthy-wise, he might be the top pick in the draft if he's healthy.
Yep.
Maybe not after
the
trades the past couple weeks, but, yeah, that's the shame in it. The other flaw in it is the nerve part is really tricky there. I'm with you, man. I wrote an article about it the other day, actually, from my Bengals site that I write for, and I said that I think that, you know, he's worth the risk to take, especially for a team that already has that depth that you can hold off in that year or so until he can come back and play. You have him there, you can plug him in. He's such an athlete, man, and he's such a dedicated person that, like, us as Notre Dame fans, we've seen this kid now for 3 years. We fully believe he's going to play again, obviously. We really have that feeling there, but... You know, with medical damage and things like that, and knees, it's hard to mess with. Such a freak accident. The one thing that really makes me mad is a lot of people are saying, well, he played in a meaningless bowl game, and it's going to cost him a lot of money. Like, if he didn't play in the quote-unquote meaningless bowl game, those NFL GMs would have ripped him for shreds even more than if he did play and get injured.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, Tim. Yeah. And it wasn't a meaningless bowl game, and I don't care what anyone says.
Right.
It was Notre Dame, Ohio State. And it was a freak thing. In fact, it wasn't really even a freak thing. He was fine. He got a little extracurricular shove at the end of a play. He landed. He took a step back, landed on that knee wrong, and it tore him up. So it wasn't a meaningless bowl game. Anyone who says that is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. So that was kind of the point that really made me mad there, and that really frustrated me. We got to look at the other end. You know, like there's a couple Notre Dame guys who are probably talking about definitely going in the first round. Ronnie Stanley being obviously the peer of it. Brian Kelly actually confirming he's going to be attending the draft with Ronnie Stanley. And Ronnie Stanley will be in Chicago next week with me. I'll be in Chicago for the draft next week too. Can't wait. So hopefully I'll be able to get to speak. Yeah, I guess we're going to chill.
Sweet, sweet. Where's my invite?
I mean, if you want to meet me in Chicago, go for it.
Okay, I'm down.
I'm there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, so I won't be on the show next week, actually.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then so Stanley there. I think Stanley's – I mean, we're looking at – what he said on Pro Football Talk was if he's not picked in the top 10, he'll be sweating a bit. A lot of people do have him in the top 10, anywhere from 7 with San Francisco. I've seen him as high as 3 to San Diego. I've seen him to Baltimore. He's a guy that's probably going to go to the top 10, at the worst, top 15. I mean, he's definitely the guy that, a lot of people are looking for. Once Laramie Tunsil's off the board, who I think will be the third pick in the draft there to San Diego, Ronnie Stanley's definitely going to be that next available tackle for sure.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, Ronnie's got so much to offer. Anyone who doesn't snap him up in the first round, they're missing the boat, I think.
Yeah, there'll be about 6 or 7 teams that'll regret that for a few years, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
And then you have Will Fuller, who is the ultimate. Will he go at the end of the first? Will he go in the early second? He's one of the top 5 wide receivers in this draft. He's definitely the fastest. There are the concerns about the hands, the body size. He doesn't, he has a lot of body catches. He's in a group there where after you look at the Corey Clemens, the Will Fullers, the Josh Dotsons, the Laquan Treadwells, wide receiver is quite a drop off from there after you name those guys. And Will Fuller is in that group. I think he's a huge part of the NFL draft. I think that he's a guy that does go in the first round. I'm hoping Cincinnati. I would love to have that happen. Having AJ Green, Tyler Eifert. Yeah. AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, and Will Fuller in offense. Sign me up. I'm in. I think that he's definitely going to be in that group there. Highest, I think, might be 22 at Houston. Lowest, I could say, probably 27, 28 range.
But I think it'll go higher than that.
Go higher than
20s? Not higher than the 20s, but I mean, right around that 20 mark, not 27, 28. I think he's going to be right around that. Well, you know what? I think he could really go 18 to 20. The guy's got elite speed. If you catch that guy on it, okay, look at USC last year. They burned us, and one play later, boom, Will Fuller beats coverage. I believe it was on a stop-and-go route where he came back, blew off the defense, off the defender.
Didn't just beat coverage. He beat a Dory Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. Is he in the draft?
No, he was a sophomore last year. His junior year's coming up.
Oh, that's right. USC, I just kind of thought maybe he was 2 and out. But he blew off a really, really good coverage man. And if you can get that guy in situations like that, he's a great edge receiver, a boundary receiver. And if you can get him in those play actions where you can get him to, I think his great – his speed is incredible where he can, he can do it on the fly, but he can also do that stop, go, and hit that out route, and he can hit in stride like he did with USC. The guy's got a lot of upside. Now, is Will Fuller really one of the better blocking wide receivers that we've seen? Probably not, but I think that's something that could be developed with him.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, he's kind of regular in there. He'll probably be a slot guy on a major NFL offense. The good thing is where he's drafted, he's going to go to a team that's pretty good. So he's going to have a chance to fit in pretty well. I saw some people talk about him going to the Jets. So him, Brandon Marshall, and Eric Decker together, that could be spectacular for any quarterback.
If I was a quarterback, which I would never be, I would take that.
Yeah. I agree there. But there's just this class and this is a Team 127 group. It's in. There's so much talent there and so much to look forward to. I know a lot of people talk about CJ Procise in this draft being a really sleeper there in that third round range there. So that's one that's pretty exciting also. So, you know, he's got that Rock Nation behind him, so that's obviously going to help having Jay-Z rep. There's a lot for him,
nice.
Too, to look forward to. Yeah.
Oh, he got Hove on him?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, news to me. Breaking news. Nice.
Yeah, that's been out for a while, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I just... yeah, we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, but I think that that's a huge one. I think that he's going to be... I mean, CJ Persley has the opportunity to really be a transitional back in the NFL, a guy you can bring in there on third down and kind of do things. Obviously, with the wide receiver experience, guy you can catch passes on the backfield, guy who's has very good awareness. And remember, this is a guy that played running back for 1 year, and he didn't play a whole season. He missed three or four games from injury, and he still ran for 1,000 yards. He still had an unbelievable season. And he split carries with Josh Adams at one point this year, too. So this is a kid that really hasn't even tapped into his potential yet as far as the NFL, as far as the player.
No, his ceiling is very high. Yeah, you make a great point that he did not, you know, I mean, he came in late, not late, but, you know, as far as running back, converted into a running back, but he could still catch passes out of the slot. And like I was saying about Will, I think that he's also he's actually got that potential to be a great blocking running back as well, who can, you know, depending on the play situation, I think he can do a lot of things. You know, he can post up in that running back position, flank out, throw a block, get free, and catch something over the middle. And still make yards after carry, because that's one thing about him was that, you know, you CJ, man, that guy did not go down after first contact. He fought through, kept those wheels turning, and yeah, he's got a lot of upside.
He's a very attractive prospect, especially for the next level. I know a lot of teams, you know, the NFL doesn't have those every down backs too much anymore, unless it's like Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley. You know, a lot of people are looking for those 1-2 punches in the NFL. I think that he is absolutely perfect for that role. I think he really could develop into being a starting running back in the NFL in the right circumstance, honestly. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, and I'm with you. His ceiling's so high, and he just has a lot that we can potentially see from him also.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's good. This draft will be very, very interesting for Notre Dame fans to see where our guys are going. But I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by where some of our guys are going.
I am looking forward to it, man. It's going to be. It's always fun to watching the draft. It's been really cool being there. It's my first time ever experiencing it too.
Wow. Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked. So just to like, get up to everyone
report,
here.
Report, sir.
I think you and everyone in the world. Yeah. So just to let everyone know what's going on here, let's just follow up. This is Down the Line on the TNNDN Network. Looking to get a call here in just a few minutes from Tyler James. Just said contact me, say he's running a few minutes behind. I'm going to recap spring football there, talk a little about the spring game this past week, what we thought, what we saw, and what we enjoyed there. So... to get right into it, man, I know everyone wants to talk about Zaire and Kaiser, and I know we'll definitely get into that. I got to say the kid that really stood out to me, besides Torrey Hunter, looked outstanding in that game, looked like he could truly be a number one receiver for this team. Dexter Williams, oh man, like the plays that he made, how fast he looked, when he took the passes, he had that touchdown run in the first drive. He was outstanding, and I was really, really happy to see his play.
No, and he played amazingly well. You know, there was one play, I believe, in the first quarter where he was touched by a defender in a green jersey. And if they were wearing a green jersey, it meant no contact. So as soon as he got touched, it was over. But I was watching that play develop, and Dexter was – the defender had no chance. I mean, it was touch football. That defender had no chance. That dude would have broke it off for another 25, 30 yards. He showed really well. But, you know, Tim, the thing that I took away from it was the play of the backfield.
Yeah.
Avery Sebastian, Cole Loop, Max Redfield. I had a chance to talk to Max after the game, right outside the gun, and just like, hey, dude, you know, I know we can't really talk on the record, but fantastic game. I love what you guys are doing. That's awesome. Now, Tim, I'm going to ask you a question. How, you know, I mean, as far as secondary play and the defense as well, because, you know, these teams were kind of drafted, so we didn't get to see what our real defense was going to look like. But that being said, I think this defense looked really good, especially on the gold team. Like I said, Avery Sebastian, Cole Loop, Max Redfield. Avery Sebastian, 6 tackles, all unassisted.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was
Cole Loop.
Too.
Cole Loop, 5 unassisted, 1 assisted. Max Redfield, 4 for 2. And Max had a couple pass breakups that I was just sitting there watching in the stands, and I just went, wow. Wow, these guys look incredible.
Yeah, they did. And even Devin Studstill, the true freshman, got his chance to get a little action there, and I thought I was really impressed with him. Sean Crawford, finally getting to see what he can do on the field. I know he's a guy a lot of people are talking about who missed his freshman season. A lot of people are really excited for what he brings to the table. You know, it was nice to see him get some action there also. But, yeah, I thought the defense was very impressive. You know, even with the loss of Sheldon Day, Jalen Smith, and guys like that, and Romeo Okwara, these guys, you know, we got glimpses of what they bring to the table. I mean, obviously, we've watched a lot of these kids for a few years now. But to see them come together and gel like that, maybe this will be the year I don't dog on Brian Van Gorder's defense. Is that possible? Can we have that?
Yeah, I think that may be correct because it looks like – no, I mean, obviously – it's a spring game, folks. It's a spring game. You don't really get to understand everything that's going on. They're not going to throw you. They're not going to throw everything up there on the table and let everyone and God and their brother see it. So, you know, from just a spring game standpoint, I think that we saw a lot of positive stuff coming out of this Notre Dame team from both quarterbacks. Even Wimbush, you know, Wimbush looked great. Zaire, Kaiser, they, you know, for people who are wondering, what do you take away from a spring game? You take away the fact that you got to go to the game and have fun. You know, that's really what it boils down to. We're not going to know anything until September, but, it was really, and I really actually, folks, I enjoyed the fact that this was a legitimate blue on gold game. It wasn't one of these, you know, hey, you know, we're going to just run one offense and one defense. You get explosive point, you know, points for an explosive play, or you get, you know, points for it. It wasn't one of these 57-45 games, which was ridiculous. It was an actual scrimmage, which I think a lot of fans took. I think a lot of the fans enjoyed that. I did.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jace, we're going to go ahead and get up here real quick. Go ahead and bring our guest on this week's show from the Nindy Insider and the South Bend Tribune, our good friend Tyler James. Tyler, how we doing, man?
Doing well. How you guys been?
Good, awesome. Good. How is life post-recruiting in spring football?
It's always moving, but we're enjoying it.
So, before we get to the Notre Dame talk, we know obviously we're here for the Notre Dame talk. We always got to talk our Chicago Bulls talk. So, Tom Thibodeau, new coach in the Minnesota Timberwolves. What do you think?
Happy for him. I think that team's going to be good in the future. So, I think he's got himself in a good situation there. I don't know if him being gone hurt the Bulls this year. Is that the reason where all the problems came from? But I definitely always liked him, so I'll support him over at the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'm with you.
At least he's not coaching the Cavs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, Tyler, you know, while we're on the subject of the Bulls for a minute, I heard a soundbite from Derrick Rose basically saying that, yeah, it's good that we're not in the playoffs. I get to spend more time with my kid. do you think that Derrick Rose is just basically a washed-up commodity, or does he serve purpose with the Bulls anymore?
I don't think they can build around him anymore. I think they gotta move past that. But I think they're kind of stuck with him for now. But I think he can be a serviceable player, but he's not a guy you're building your team around anymore.
I'm with that. So let's go ahead and get into it, man. It's post-spring game. Obviously, you know, take so much as you can from the spring game. Saw some really good play. Saw the quarterback action from both guys. Basically got what we expected and what we wanted out of that. What did you take away from anything in particular that jumped out to you from the spring game? Anything that really made you excited for the season coming up?
There was no really grand takeaways for me. I think it was partly – it's a little bit harder when they split the two teams up to see, like, how is the offense doing when you got a mixture of ones and twos in there together, or how is the defense doing. I thought from some of what we've seen in the limited action we were able to see from spring practice, I thought the defensive secondary held up better than I maybe would have anticipated. I saw them get torched at times in some drills and some scrimmage situations, and that didn't seem to really happen. I think there may have been a couple chances for some deep balls that Notre Dame didn't really connect on that maybe – would have made things look worse for Notre Dame's defense. But I thought they were pretty steady. It was pretty bland, nothing really exotic from either the offense or the defense in terms of play calling. So I don't know that it reflects too much on what we'll see in the fall, but no guys got hurt. That's always a big takeaway. And people want to say, well, who's the starting quarterback? I think it's going to be DeShone Kizer, and I don't know that necessarily what we saw in the spring game was because of that. He just seems like the more comfortable player back there right now. I think his experience will probably lead him to be the starter in the fall. But I think you got to find a way to play Malik Thayer. He just demands that kind of attention, and he's talented enough. He's too talented of a player on your team for him to not see the field in some.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. And, you know, we saw some flashy plays there, like we mentioned there. And I kind of saw you kind of talked about Torrey Hunter a bit, and you said, you know, from spring practice, you've been really impressed with him this spring. Had quite the weekend, getting the game-winning run in the baseball game and having some plays in the spring game. You know, your takeaway from Torrey this spring, what you expect, you know, is he – do you expect him to be maybe the top guy to take over that role next season?
I do. I was a little skeptical of that, I think, going into the spring. I think mainly just because of the lack of production he has had. And that may be more just a product of the guys that were ahead of him. Notre Dame was comfortable with Will Fuller, Chris Brown, and Amir Carlisle as receivers in their offense. And Torrey Hunter never really seemed to carve out a small role that was used reliably. So I think I was a little worried, can he hold up? Can he be the number one guy? Can he do a little bit of everything? And I think from what I've seen in spring practice, he was able to do that. He's a deep threat. He can he can be a possession receiver. He can do a little bit of everything. I think Notre Dame could probably line him up at any of the wide receiver positions this coming season. And he was much more dominant at times than I would have anticipated. So I think Notre Dame will be fine with him as their number one receiver going into the season.
Hey, Tyler. It's Jason Kripe here. Now, you mentioned Malik Zaire and the whole quarterback race, but we saw, I believe it was the third drive that Malik had, and he made a great effort to plant that left ankle and cut back to the right. And in the post game, and you were there, I know, because I was there too, but in the post game, Malik said that he kind of feels that injury is in the rear view. Now, as far as that goes, do you think this is really still an open quarterback conversation, or is Malik just going through the moves or the motions? And if that's the case, do you see a transfer? Because Brandon Wimbush looked incredible in that second half.
I don't know that it's signed, sealed, and delivered. I think Malik Zaire is in a position where he has to do something to overtake DeShone Kizer. I don't know. It doesn't really make much sense for Brian Kelly to come out and say that, I don't think. In terms of transferring, I don't know that it would make sense for Malik Zaire to transfer if he can get through the season and graduate and then go wherever he wants and not have to sit out a year. I think he could be one, just like last season, he could be one step away from being that guy, even if he gets demoted to the number two quarterback. So,
I don't necessarily foresee a transfer. I do think the plan, like Brian Kelly said before and then kind of walked back a little bit, that Brandon Wimbush will probably redshirt this season. If they have their wish, he won't have to be on the field, and so that allows them to redshirt him and keep another year of eligibility. So that would probably have been what they would like to do last season, but they weren't allowed to, so they'll have a chance, hopefully, in their eyes, to do that this year. So I think Malik has a chance. I mean, Deshaun just seems more reliable and more comfortable, and I think everything that he did last season really kind of built upon itself, and Malik was just in the unfortunate position that he got hurt and hasn't been able to do that. So it'll be interesting to see because and see how maybe Malik handles it if he does get made the number two quarterback, because he's been demonstrative before about how confident he is, and you can't take that away from a player. I think they have the right to be confident in themselves, and we'll see how it all kind of unfolds in the fall. It'll certainly be fascinating, even if Deshaun Kizer is the number one quarterback, to see how everything goes from there.
Yeah, agreed. Now, as far as the secondary, we were talking before you came on, and I was really impressed by the play of Avery Sebastian, Max Redfield for the Gold team. They seem to just be all over the ball. So did you take that away from it? We didn't get to see the whole defense as it was because it's a spring game, obviously, and it was kind of drafted, from what I understand. So, what do you take away from that secondary? The play of Max Redfield, the play of Avery Sebastian, who I thought was incredible, pass breakups, great coverage. What do you take away from the secondary? Because that's something we've been lacking in years.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of keeping things in front of them. That's what I hadn't really seen in practice. I thought that when we had learned what the rosters were going to be, I thought Blue was going to win because I didn't like the safety combination of Avery Sebastian and Max Redfield, but they played much better than I would have anticipated. They kept things in front of them. I know Max is certainly being challenged with Devin Studd still getting number one reps, and Avery Sebastian is just trying to get healthy and be able to compete at a high level. I think at times hasn't necessarily looked as fast as I think he probably would like to be, but if he can keep things in front of him, then Notre Dame could be in good shape. They need to figure out what's going on at safety because it seems like a bit of a mess, and there obviously are some freshmen that are going to come in to compete. Jalen Elliott's going to be a guy that will come in the summer and try and compete to get into that two-deep depth chart, and we'll have to see. I think when you talk about, like, defensive line, Keith Gilmore said, I want to rotate guys in and keep guys fresh, but I think it's hard to do at the safety position because you want to – those guys got to know everything. They're kind of going to be in charge of the secondary and help guys out and have a rapport with the other cornerbacks that they're working with. So you kind of need to have some stability there. So some guys are going to have to step up. And I don't know that Notre Dame necessarily knows who is that going to be right now, but I think – The Blue Gold game was a strong performance from them, and especially coming up against the run and making some nice plays as well.
Well, and Tyler, I know that the MVP of the game ball went to Tyler Newsom, and I'm sitting here looking at my stats, and for the Gold team, he had 208 yards punting, 52 average, 64 long, 2 inside the 20 for the Blue team. 3 for 161, 53.7, and a 58, and 1 inside the 20. What did you take away from Tyler? I mean, that kid is just dropping bombs as far as punts go. I mean, there was a couple where the one in the first quarter or first half just rolled out the two. Another one that I took away from it in the first half was he knocked that thing out there, and basically it was like a golf ball. It just stopped on the 2 and rolled back to like the 5 or 6. What do you take away from Tyler Newsom? I mean, how important is his role going forward?
Yeah, I think that could be a vital part of Notre Dame's team in the future. If he can be it's just weird to call a punter a threat, but a threat to pin guys inside the 10-yard line and to make sure that Notre Dame is always in better field position than its opponent, that can be a huge value to Notre Dame. I think we've always seen that he's had a powerful leg that hasn't really been in question, but he hasn't always shown that consistently. I think there's some bad punts here or there, but if he can
be able to keep that the average up in the 50 range, and be able to have placement and touch on the ball as well, so he can get the ball to stop how he wants it to and go out of bounds or be there inside the 10 for one of his teammates to go down it. That could be a huge addition to Notre Dame's team and really put Notre Dame's defense in a much better place than it has been at times in the past.
And just to recap here, this is Down the Line of the TNNDN Network talking spring football with Tyler James of ND Insider. Give him a follow on Twitter at TJamesNDI. So, Tyler, let's go ahead and talk real quick. As we know, next week is the NFL draft. And, you know, obviously there's the Jalen Smith discussion that everyone's having, and it's where in the world does he go, when does he play, and that's the big scary thing there for him. On the other end, you know, when you look at this, we now know that Ronnie Stanley is going to be attending the draft in Chicago. Brian Kelly will also be in attendance with him. What are your thoughts there? Where could you potentially see Stanley going? I mean, with all these trades and everything, it just feels like he went from that, like, top 3-8 region maybe down to that 5-15 region. Am I crazy there?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I think it's with the draft, it's always about need, and so it's hard to – obviously, almost every team seems to always need better offensive tackles, and he's one of the best in the draft, and I think there's some differing opinions of whether him or Jack Conklin is the number two offensive tackle off the board after Laramie Tunsil, but I think that he should have some probably good news. I think there's been discussion, I know – during Pro Day, the Titans were following around. Mike Mularkey was there, making sure to keep an eye on him. So we'll see if there may be a player for Ronnie Stanley. But I would expect him to go pretty high. He was such a solid and consistent player at Notre Dame. And I think maybe people were a little nervous or skeptical when they saw his maybe athletic numbers in terms of testing didn't maybe reflect his athleticism as a football player. But I think – when you talk about offensive linemen, you just need to see what he does on the field, not necessarily care about what his numbers are. So I think he'll be able to do that at the NFL level, and I think whatever NFL team gets him will probably be happy about their pick.
Do you expect Will Fuller to go in the first round?
I'm not sure about that. I think it's hard to be a guy that overcomes someone that has a rep of having some drops and untimely drops. So we'll have to see if someone falls in love with the speed. It's hard to not fall in love with that. But I think there's a number of different receivers kind of vying to be the top receiver drafted and be in that top group. So I don't know if he's going to be able to crack that, but we'll have to see if someone kind of falls in love and make sure that he doesn't get in the second round.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting there. So, hey, man, thanks again for joining us. Always appreciate the time. But before we get you out of here, anything new and exciting we should expect from ND Insider this year?
Nothing yet. We may have something in the future, but I know we're starting to work already on our season preview magazine that comes out in the summer, so look forward to that in the summer. But nothing immediately coming out, but if something's developing, I'll definitely let you guys know, all right?
Awesome. Hey, Tyler, it's always a pleasure. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your night, man.
All right, have a good one, guys.
See you, buddy. And that was our quick talk with Tyler James of the ND Insider. Quick recap of spring football, looking forward ahead also. Mike, is there anything you want to touch on, man? I really feel like there's not a whole lot this, like, post-spring ball week.
Well, let's hit the basketball really quick, man, because we've had a couple major shakeups on the men's end.
Yeah.
Demetrius Jackson is no longer with the team. He's hired
an
agent.
Yep.
Yep. And Zach August also has put his name in the ring. But, however, he has not hired an agent, as far as I know, to this point. So this could be a major shakeup for Notre Dame men's basketball.
Not to mention V.J. Beachum.
Hmm. Did he put in?
Yeah, he didn't hire an agent, though.
Oh, well, okay. So those aren't concrete. D.J. is gone, for sure.
Right, yeah. And he should be. I mean, he's probably late first round, maybe a teetering in the lottery section
maybe
right
early
now.
Two. Yeah. No, he'll go. Yeah. Zach, I think, is testing the water. VJ, too. They're testing it. And I think DJ should have come back for his for another year and, you know, work on it a little bit.
I still expect he comes back, honestly, because he has until, I think, he can go to the – he can go, like, do the workouts and stuff, and then he can decide from there. So
I said DJ, not VJ.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, DJ is gone. VJ. Yeah, he hasn't hired an agent, so he could come back. But I think those guys, VJ and August, are going to get a review that goes, yeah, play another year. And Mike Murray's probably going, yes, God, please play another year.
I honestly think that someone's going to take Zach August. He's just too good of a rebounder for them not to.
He's too inconsistent, though, man, in his play. As far as shooting, and he's very hit and miss, and he can have great games, and then he can have really, really bad games.
Yeah, and I get that, man. But, I mean, in the NBA, like, everyone's just looking for rebounders who are very physical in the paint, and he is that. And he has been that throughout his whole career. He's been up and down with the shooting. Yes, I agree with you. His free throw skills weren't always there, but he's the guy, you know, he's going to be able to make himself some money in the league.
True.
If I could make that money,
I'd take it too.
Did you see for the Players Tribune, that website, Jerry and Grant wrote an article about Notre Dame's women's basketball team?
No.
It's awesome. If you get a chance, definitely check it out.
Oh, yes, of course I will. Wow.
Yeah. He talks about, like, how big women's basketball is in Notre Dame, and he goes with, like, pretty into detail. It's a really good article about, you know, when people dog on the women's game saying it's boring or it's too slow, and he has a lot of really good points in there, and it's really cool to see. And there's actually a video in there from when he was on campus, him and Jewel Lloyd playing against each other in horse, and it's pretty fun to see.
Nice.
Yeah, because you said him and Jewel Lloyd used to, like, played, like, I think 100 times, you said, and they played horse against each other.
Really?
Yeah, they said they play all the time.
Wow, news to me.
Yeah, so that's a cool thing there. Definitely worth checking that out. I guess when we're talking about Notre Dame athletics before we get out of here, man, Notre Dame baseball is on a roll right now. I don't know if you've seen or not.
Yeah,
five straight wins, 13 of their last 15. They're 11-2 at home. They are definitely doing something special right now.
Mick Aoki has that team primed to do some really good stuff. And they have tremendous players on that team. I mean, it's so good how well disciplined they are. And that just really all goes down to coaching, honestly. I think these guys are poised to do some really good stuff. Now, it's early in the season, you know, so there's a lot of games to be played. But so far, forget about it. These guys are lights out. In fact, I've got to make a point to go over to Frank Eck and check out a couple games, because from all accounts I'm hearing from baseball fans in the South Bend area, and we've got Notre Dame, we've got the South Bend Cubs, and then obviously we have the Chicago Cubs just a couple hours away, not even a couple hours, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours away. You know, and from what I'm hearing is that from people in the know, and I'm not I love baseball, but from people who know, they're saying that Notre Dame men's team, they're just wicked good. They're very, very good, very solid, very disciplined, and they are going to do some great stuff this year.
Yeah, it looks like things are going well there. Michael Hearn has been outstanding his last three starts. 0.72 ERA, a 163 opponent batting average. So he's definitely doing something special there. So, yeah, if you guys are in the area, definitely worth checking them out and watching the things they're doing. So be sure to keep an eye for sure. But,
and
the tickets are cheap, exactly. I think other than that, man, we might be all set for this week's Down the Line edition, if I'm not mistaken.
I think we're good, man. I think we touched on everything going on. So, yeah. We can wrap this baby up.
So let's go ahead and say thanks again to Tyler James for joining us. Always appreciate his time. Thank you if you keep checking our show out for the past 6 years. We are in year six now.
Six
football season. How crazy is that?
Hey, fans, listen. 6 years we've been doing this, and that's why y'all are here, because we do it right.
Exactly. So thank you all for continuously showing support. Thank you to the TNNDN team. Be sure to check out all of our shows on iTunes by searching TNNDN. There's a lot of them, but there's a lot of really good interviews in there. Thank you all again. Everyone enjoy the week, and go Irish.
Go Irish.